Hallelujah. Thank God for Pastor Sam letting me help out. We've got one church in this area, and we're all just part of that church. Praise God. Me and my wife were gone during the revival, and we got to see some of it on live stream. Looked like it just had an amazing time. Praise God. We were out of town, but I've been hearing testimonies of what God has done. Did you know that that can be every single week? Amen. Hallelujah. Every single week. Praise God. I thought Brother Tanner disappeared. He went back there. Awesome. Awesome. Praise God. I'm so thankful for him. I enjoyed following him on Facebook through these missions trips he just went on. And just thank God for that. And enjoyed, made me kind of miss that. I used to do that. Me and my wife we traveled a lot of missions work and preaching in several countries. And a lot of the countries he went to, is where we have ministered. And it was like, oh man, I'd like to be there with him. And praise God. The Lord kind of shifted my focus. I've been very mission minded for years, and in the last probably 5 years or so, the Lord has shifted my focus from overseas to right here, this area. And so we've been investing our strength and energy in just wanting to see a powerful move of God in this region. Amen. From north of Springfield to south of Harrison and all through this area. I've been calling it the 65 corridor revival. Amen. All the way down 65 highway. And so I believe we're gonna see that. We've been hearing a lot of really good reports. A lot of people, a lot of churches having just a revival atmosphere and a move of the Spirit of God. And we're anticipating that what we hope for, what we pray for, what we sense, what we see in our spirits is going to become tangible to the body of Christ. And we're going to be able to touch it. We're going to be able to feel it. We're going to be able to watch it. Amen. We're already doing that. Seeing it in a lot of ways. Talk about breaking addictions. The other couple of weeks ago, there was a man that had been coming to my church, and he's a Baptist pastor, and has had, I don't really know his history, but he'd been coming for a little while, and he smoked like a freight train. You just smell cigarettes on him all the time. And a couple of weeks ago, on a Sunday morning, the glory of God was just heavy. I mean, powerful. And after church, he came up to me and he said, "Well, they're gone." I said, "What's gone?" He said, "The cigarettes." He said, God delivered me today. He said, he set me free. He said, "They're just gone." Smoked all his life. And he hadn't touched one since. Praise God. Just in the presence of God, just the glory of God. And just set him free. Nobody prayed for him. Nobody talked to him. He just the presence of God. There was just an encounter with God's presence, and he received, and it broke that addiction, broke that power over his life. I want to talk tonight for just a few minutes. I'm not going to say that. Every time a preacher says, "I'm just going to talk for a few minutes," it's always the longest sermon they've ever preached. Yeah, so I'm going to retract that. Because I don't want to break my 4-hour limit. Can you believe somebody preached for 4 hours? Some of y'all feel like you've endured days of it. But I've actually done that. And thank God. I had one opportunity to minister to a group of people in a very violent area in South Africa. And finally got in there. We couldn't get anybody to take us in. No cabs or nothing. Finally tricked a guy into taking us in because we didn't tell him where he was going until it was almost there. And he was a Muslim man. And when we told him where we needed to go, there was a little church inside this area and a little Bible school inside this area. And we wanted to get in there and teach and minister. And when he kept saying, where are we going? Where are we going? And the guys with just kept telling him what road to turn down, you know. And finally the guy said, where are we going? And when he told him, he said, no, we can't go in there. We can't go in there. And the police in that area ride in armored vehicles and have SWAT gear on all the time. That's the police. And we finally got in there. We told him, said, look, God's with us. This is a Muslim man. He said, God's with us. It's going to be okay. And so he finally agreed, got us in there. And we told him, said, you can drop us off and leave if you want to. But you just got to get us there. And we got in there, and he didn't leave. He come in to the church, and we asked him, said, why aren't you leaving? He said, God's with you. I'm staying with you. So we had one day to minister to these people. And so for 4 hours, I ministered and taught on receiving the identity of Christ. And God opened their eyes, and we had a great time. But thank God for His Word. Thank God for the amazing things that He's doing all over this area. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Several years ago, this was a very popular portion of Scripture. There was a guy wrote a book about it. The prayer of Jabez became very popular, and then it kind of subsided. But it's still a very powerful text. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and they would, you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. That seems very simple. He asked, and God granted him what he requested. So we understand by that statement that God granted him to be blessed indeed. God granted that he would be enlarged in his territory. God granted that his hand would be with him, and it would keep him from evil so that he would not cause pain. Now, the name Jabez means to grieve or to be sorrowful. So all this man's life, from the time he was born, his name was pain or grief or sorrow. And when anybody called his name, what they were saying was, you are the cause of sorrow. You are the cause of grief. You're the cause of pain. And it says that he was more honorable than his other brothers. And the word honor, we look at it and think that, well, that means that he was respected. Well, the word honor can also mean that he was heavy, or that there was a burden upon him. And so he was more honorable than his brothers. But he prayed and said, God, bless me. And the reason he wanted to be blessed is because he wanted to no longer cause pain. In other words, he wanted God to change his identity, change his atmosphere. Oh, I could preach all night on that one. Amen. Change his environment Oh, if we could just understand that the Word of God will grow if we put it in the right environment. It's the environment of our life we got to change. Amen. I'm going to stay focused here. I want to take off on that. But he said, bless me that I might not cause pain. And in other translations, that can even be stated that the blessing would not cause me pain. How many know that sometimes the blessing isn't always a blessing? If you begin to serve the blessing, it becomes a curse to you. But Jabez is praying here and asking God, bless me that your hand would be upon me. Now that's a powerful statement. When you ask God's hand to be upon you, it means that there's evidence in your life that God's power is upon you. His authority is upon you. Nehemiah, when he built the wall, it continually said that the good hand of the Lord God was upon him. In other words, God continually demonstrated his power and his ability in Nehemiah's life. And so it was evident that the good hand of the Lord was upon him. Now, if I can do anything tonight, I want to change our theme song. From gloom, despair, and agony on me to I am blessed. Amen. Because we are not just temporarily blessed. And anytime you say bless, immediately our minds, our Western minds, go to money. And God certainly will bless you in finances and things like that. I mean, I've got hours and hours and hours of stories to tell you how that God meets your needs and will provide from driving a car without any gas in it and making it home to having food. I mean, to being protected when some radicals was trying to kill us, they couldn't see us, and they kept passing by us. We were standing right there. Me and my wife, especially in India and Africa, places like that, we're like neon lights. I mean, you can't miss us. Blonde hair, white. In Africa, I'm called the white bishop. I don't know if it's my skin color or this. I never have asked them. But God's protection. I mean, these guys were wanting to, they'd been trying to get to us for 2 weeks. And they caught us at the airport. And here they come, and we were locked out of the airport. We couldn't get in the airport yet. And there was a massive crowd out there all waiting to get in the airport. And we're standing out there vulnerable and with no protection. And here comes these guys ranting and raving and shaking their fists in the air and yelling and shoving people out of the way and just acting real violent. And me and my wife are standing there and we're waiting. And I'm watching them. They're coming right toward me. And they marched right past us. And I could look them right in the eye. They marched right past us. They got down a ways, and they turn around, and here they come marching back. And they come, I could have reached out and just hit them, you know. And they marched right back by us. And I went to my interpreter, and I said, what are these guys doing? And he was standing there like this. I said, what are these guys doing? And without moving, he said, looking for you. I said, looking for me? They just went by me twice. And he's still standing there just like this. He said, they can't see you. God's provision. We are a blessed people. Jabez says, bless me indeed. The word indeed means make it obvious. In every part of my life, make it obvious. You understand what Jabez was actually asking here? He was asking God to make it obvious to everybody that he was no longer one that caused pain, but now he was blessed by the hand of God and he was a provision. Hallelujah. God can change your life. God can change your identity. You don't have to continue in the course that was set for you. God can change the course. The world will set a certain course for you. The world will give you an identity, but God has a new identity for you, and you got to grab hold of God's identity and begin to say, that's who I am. I'm not what the world said I am. I am blessed in Jesus' name. I have a new identity. Hallelujah. Praise God. God doesn't have any disabilities. Jesus doesn't have any disabilities. Amen. God can heal you of disabilities. He can heal you of disorders. We have a word disorders now. We got a disorder. Everything's a disorder, but there are so many that suffer with disorders. You know, just it means that things aren't working right in our life. It means that something's out of order in our life. It means we have anxiety or depression or whatever disorder, eating disorders or sleeping disorders or whatever the case might be. But God doesn't have any disorders. He doesn't have any disabilities. And when we have a disability, we can bring it to God and He can heal us of our disability. When God called me to preach, I tell people this all the time. When God called me to preach, I was 19 years old. And you got to understand, I went through school struggling with what they called a disability. But they had no help for people like me back then. And they said that I was not capable of learning. I didn't have a learning disability. They had a teaching disability. Come on, somebody. Amen. But they couldn't help me, so I graduated from high school. Now listen, if I'd have been incapable of learning, how did I graduate from high school never having read a paragraph in a book? I graduated from high school, made it all the way through school, never having been able to read. But I made it. Amen. When they'd hand out the test, I would turn that test into my own. I would totally do it totally different. And I would even make up, now they call them algorithms. And I, you know, for true and false answer, I love true and false tests because I would count how many questions there was. And then I would do an average of how many T's and how many F's. And then I would develop a pattern and I would make a pattern and then I would fill in the blanks with a pattern of T's and F's and I would make B pluses on those things. Amen. But when God called me to preach at a young age, I said, God, we've got a problem. You're wanting to stand me up in front of the class and make fun of me because you know the disability that I've struggled with all my life. This is what Holy Spirit said. Do I have disabilities? I said, no. He said, you're in Christ. How can you have a disability and be in Christ? I took that to God and I said, God, I give you my life and I bring to you the disability they say that I have and I ask you to be my tutor. And God taught me how to read, and in a couple of weeks I was speed reading and I started devouring books. And every time I would start struggling, I'd sit down and start trying to read and I would struggle. I would stop and I would say, Father, I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. My mind is a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind. I have the mind of Christ and I have every ability that Jesus has. And then I would start reading. Amen. I don't know why I needed to share that with you tonight, but I shared it with you. Praise God. A lot of people get embarrassed to tell people that they couldn't read. I'm not embarrassed. I want everybody that has that problem to know there's a healer and there's a deliverer and you can be changed. Amen. I've got more of an education now than the teachers that said I couldn't learn. Amen. You can learn. Your children can learn. Amen. There's a power. There's an anointing. There's a glory. God delivered me. I had to, you know, now they call it ADHD. I had that all my life. I mean, they tried to beat it out of me. They kicked me out of school. They tried to restrain me. They tried everything in the world. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he healed me of that thing. And he said, you no longer have to be like that. That's what God told me. You no longer have to be like this. And I was set free and delivered from that whatever they call it. I call it a gift. Amen. I had a superpower when I was a kid. You couldn't slow me down. You couldn't run me out of energy. Didn't matter what you did. Amen. If they could have just turned that, if they could have just hooked that up to something. Man, I could have charged batteries all over. Put me on a treadmill with a generator on it. I'll charge your batteries. Praise God. But we have a delivering, healing God that wants to bless you. And Jabez says, I'm tired of being called pain. And I ask you to bless me indeed. Make it obvious to everybody that I'm blessed. I ask that your hand would be upon me, which means that he would be honored because of what was coming to him. Now, blessing, we've got to grab hold of this because blessing has to do with every part of our life. We talk about, you know, we think about money, but that's a small part. Jesus said it's the least of everything. You are spirit first, soul second, body third, and then your finances and material things are outside of that. And so Jesus started at the top, and he changed our spirits, he renews our minds, he heals our bodies, and he blesses our territory and enlarges our territory, changes, gives us an enlargement of our capacity. Praise God. How many want to see God enlarge your capacity? Praise God. I want to have my capacity for him enlarged. I want to have more of God than I've ever had before. Listen, if a human soul can hold a legion of demons, how much of the Holy Ghost can I hold? Amen. Praise God. I can hold a lot of it. Just about 4 weeks ago, man, I'm having a hard time getting focused here. Amen. I'm doing ADHD preaching tonight. About 4 weeks ago, I've been praying for a fresh baptism. God told me about 2 years ago, or last year, he told me in a prophetic vision, he said, I am sending an anointing upon the church in this last day, and it's called the finisher's anointing. I am anointing my church to wrap up this church age, and you are the generation. And he said, I'm pouring out my spirit. There is a baptism that is coming upon the church. It's not a different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. And I've been praying for that and seeking for God. I've been saying, God, if it's real, if you're sending that, I want to be part of it. I want it. And about 4 weeks ago on a Sunday morning, standing in my church during worship, all of a sudden God baptized me new and fresh in the power of the Holy Spirit, gave me a brand new language I'd never spoke before, and has been demonstrating that. And for the last 4 weeks, there is an anointing coming upon the body of Christ. You might be comfortable with where you're at. You might be comfortable with the language that God gave you, but it's time to get uncomfortable and say, God, I'm ready for a brand new, fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon my life. I ran this by Pastor Sam because he's an Old Testament theologian. And I said, listen, I want to talk to you about in the garden where God cursed the ground. When God, you know, when Adam and Eve fell and God talked to him, did you know God did not curse Adam? He cursed the ground. What God said to Adam, and I didn't get a no from Pastor Sam, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. When God spoke to Adam about his sin, he said to the ground,
that from now on, Adam is going to have to, by the sweat of his brow, get his food. And you are to produce thorns and thistles. In other words, God said, told nature to resist Adam, to make everything hard on him. In the New Testament, it says that the very nature itself groans for the revelation or the revealing of the sons of God. You know why it's groaning? Because even nature wants to be released from this commandment to resist. And God told nature, God told this world to resist Adam in everything and make it difficult. But here, before the new covenant, before Jesus, Jabez is saying, God, bless me indeed, that your hand would be upon me, that you enlarge my territory. What Jabez is asking is, God, relieve me from the commandment of nature to resist me. You ever feel like everything you do fights you? And it's hard. You can't seem to get anything done. You take three steps forward and two steps backwards. We say that all the time. And then we use words like, well, God blessed me. And we have a momentary attitude toward the blessing of God. Well, God blessed me today. And God blessed me with this. And God, I want you to bless me in this. And we have this temporary, momentary, maybe today will be better kind of attitude. But that is not what the blood of Jesus bought for you. What the blood of Jesus bought for you is a deliverance from the commandment of the world to resist you. And he blessed you with the blessing of Abraham. He blessed you with the blood of Jesus. You are now the sons and daughters of God. And now this world is commanded to serve you instead of resist you. I mean, look at Jesus. We are in Christ, aren't we? When Jesus decided to walk across the water had no choice but to hold him up. It could not resist him. He was a creator. Matter of fact, the only thing that Jesus cursed was a fig tree that didn't bear fruit. And it even says that it wasn't time. It wasn't season, but Jesus cursed it. You know why? You ever wondered why Jesus be so mean to curse that? I'll tell you why. Because the creator of all things walked up in front of that fig tree, and that fig tree should have served him. And it refused. That's why Jesus cursed the fig tree and it died. Because everything had to serve him. When a storm came up and tried to overcome the boat, all Jesus had to do is get up and say, that's not what you're going to do to me. I'm the creator. I am the Lord. Now peace be still. And the water and the seas and the wind had to turn and serve him instead of resist him. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're getting what I'm getting, but I have been enjoying this. And ever since God gave me this understanding, I have been seeing a change take place. And I got to tell you something. We have been taught that we got to just kind of force our way through this world, and we've got to try to make it work, and it's going to be hard. I got to tell you something. The reason is because we don't realize that we have been brought into a kingdom that is on this earth that has changed the very circumstance. The world was cursed, but Jesus blessed it and blessed the kingdom of God, and he gave us all authority in heaven and in earth. And therefore, this world needs to start serving you instead of resisting you. Amen. Oh, kind of makes you think, doesn't it? You think about all those years we've struggled. How, you know, and what if there was blessing on us? See, blessing is not a temporary thing. It is a permanent thing. You are blessed. You are blessed. Not hopefully God will bless me today. You are blessed. When it says that God gave Jabez what he asked for, it means that from that day forward, Jabez prospered in everything. In other words, the world could no longer resist him and hold back. It had to start blessing him. His ground had to start giving forth fruit. He had to, it started producing. This has happened in a, there, I wish I could remember the country in South America. There was an amazing revival there and still going. But the prayer meetings were just unreal. The soccer stadiums in this country were filled with people. They would have these prayer meetings where the soccer stadiums would be filled with people praying and seeking God. And it was a poor country, and they had a hard time. And after this move of God began to happen, all of a sudden their gardens began to produce fruit like it never produced before. I mean, their produce began to be multiplied and began to be bigger and larger than it ever been. And it just began to be a supernatural thing began to take place. And they started prospering because that which was supposed to resist them started blessing them. Hallelujah. We today stand in the blessing of the Lord. We walk in His blessing. See, if we understand that, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you've read Deuteronomy 28, you understand that God said that if you keep my commandments, if you obey my words and keep my commandments, then these blessings will come upon you and will overtake you. I think I'm going to turn to that real fast. Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah. Now we got to be out by morning, right? I don't want to have to raise anybody from the dead because you fell out of the window. Said, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. And blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You get an understanding? In other words, now instead of having a hard time and your land not producing, your cattle not producing, all these things not producing, now the blessing of the Lord is coming upon you and it's bringing forth. Well, most of us don't have cattle or chickens or gardens. The way it's looking, we might learn how to garden again. And God can bless your yard instead of bringing forth grass to bring forth vegetables. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you folks in the neighborhoods might have chickens and cows in your backyard before long, fight with the city trying to, you know, anyway. If the globalists have their way, which I don't think they're going to, because there is a kingdom remnant that is raising up, and there's a revival taking place in this nation, and God is going to honor the people of this nation that pray and that seek Him. But it says that you'll be blessed. Your herds will be blessed. Most of us don't do that, but we have jobs. Today, our economy is in money. Instead of in cattle, they used to trade with salt. We don't trade with salt anymore. We trade with this temporary power of purchase called money. And so God said that he would bless you in that, whatever it is that produces it for you and brings to your life, God will bless that. Amen. If the enemy tries to take from you, God will cause it to come back upon you seven times. It says that when a thief is caught, they have to repay seven times. When you get this in your heart and begin to understand that you're not temporarily blessed, you are blessed. Say, whoa, boy, God blessed us today. No, you have been walking in the blessing of God for years now. We just don't realize it. We don't understand it. Amen. The enemy, if you don't understand this, the enemy will steal everything that God's trying to bless you with. Amen. You know that young man that stood up here a while ago named Benaiah? He wasn't supposed to be here. He was supposed to die, but he didn't die. You know why? Because I got a hold of this word right here. Amen. We'd already lost a baby, buried our second baby, our little girl. My wife was expecting Benaiah. She was about 3 months along, and all of a sudden, she began to miscarry. Just seemed like it was impossible for us to have children. We thought our second child was gonna, but we ended up having to have a funeral, and you don't know what it's like unless you've went to the hospital to have a baby and come home with empty arms. You don't know what kind of pain that is because it's so empty. Some of you know what I'm talking about. She's expecting Benaiah. She began to miscarry, called the doctor. The doctor said, you know what you got to do? You just got to lay flat on your back, and we just got to see what's going to happen. She was laying flat on her back. This was on a Saturday. I began to pray. I was in the living room with my Bible, and I was praying. I said, God, what is going on? Show me why this is happening. And just like that, he said, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. I got my Bible out, started thumbing through it, finally found Deuteronomy, went to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and when I got to the part where it said, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, I jumped straight up from my chair, and I said, God, you said it right here, that our children are blessed. We serve you. We do everything we know to serve you. We preach the gospel. What's going on? And he said, the devil is stealing your offspring. You need to take a stand against it. I went in the bedroom with this verse, knelt down beside the bed, and I said, honey, listen to this. This is what the word of God says. The blessed is the fruit of our body. And I prayed over that day. We declared the blessing of the Lord. We had been through heartache after heartache. It seemed impossible. But the next day was Sunday. My wife got up and went to church with me. She wasn't supposed to be out of bed. Went to church with me. And at the end of service, the pastor called us up in the front. And we were standing up front. And our uncle, Earl Blansett, who pastored at Healing River for 14 years, was standing over on this side of the church. He was there that day. Wasn't always there, but he was there that day. We were standing over on this side of the church, and we were standing on the word of God. Blessed is the fruit of our bodies. Blessed is our children. We walk in the blessing of God because we have obeyed your word. Just standing up there, we hadn't told anybody what was going on. Just seeking God. Standing over here, and all of a sudden, Uncle Earl was standing over here, and all of a sudden he looked over at us, and here he come, walking across the church. He walked over to Betty, put his hand on her head and said, "Satan, how dare you touch this child? This baby will live and not die." And for that moment, she was healed. That's why Benaiah's in there preaching right now in Restoration Connection, because there is a promise, there is a blessing, there is a word that when you stand on that word, there is blessing that comes upon your life. And God healed Betty's body, and she was able to carry Benaiah and then his younger brother Austin with no problem, because there was a turnaround. What was the turnaround? We stopped being temporarily blessed and start realizing that we walk in this blessing every day of our life. If it wasn't for the Word of God speaking to us, we wouldn't have any children. But the Word came and healed them. Amen. There is a blessing for the body of Christ. Many of us have lost a lot of stuff. We've lost a lot of things. And yet there is a blessing that is right within grasp. You know, Jesus told him to go and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. It means it's within reach. But that was pre-resurrection. After the resurrection, it wasn't within reach. It was inside. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, the kingdom of God came inside of us. And so the blessing is resident with you. Praise God. We just got to start saying, "Holy Spirit, teach me how to walk in this." Hallelujah. Just like he told me when I said, you know, the disability they say I have. How can I get up and preach if I can't read? That didn't last very long, because Jesus said, you're forgetting who you are. You're no longer just a young man. You're now the Son of God. I don't have disabilities. You can receive what you need from him just simply by faith, by laying hold of that. Stand with me tonight if you would.